So today's sermon actually began to morph day by day through this week. The more I went through it, the more I looked at it, the more I decided I needed to change it because the importance changes. It's the last trumpet call. There is no other. It's the last trumpet call. And everything that we've learned in the feast days has led up to this fall feast. We talked about the spring feast. It began with Passover, and we began to go through Passover to the unleavened bread, from the unleavened bread to the waving of the sheaf, the first fruits. And we go through those harvests. We go through Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out. And here we are now. Everything that we have learned about the feast have led us to this moment, to this fall feast. And the feast have been, well, they've all pointed to this moment, symbolizing the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the first activity of the fall feast is the Feast of the Trumpets. It's a blowing of the trumpets. It is a wake-up call. And it's a wake-up call that is a warning to all of us. It's a warning that the Day of Atonement is coming. And that Feast of the Trumpets warns that the Day of Atonement is coming in 10 days for the Hebrews at that time. The Day of Atonement was symbolic of the final judgment. Every soul was to pass before the judgment seat of God, and the great fast of the Day of Atonement was symbolic of the preparation of God's people for the second coming. That's what it pointed to. And in 10 days between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, it was a time of true reflection. And it's actually known as the 10 days of awe. It was known as the 10 days of awe. You know, when's the last time you were in awe of God? When's the last time you sat down and looked in your own life and said, what do I need to change in my life? What else do I need to surrender to God? And in the 10 days of awe, we begin to realize we have a lot of things to fix. In Psalms 46:10, in the International Standard Version, it says it best. It's the closest. Be in awe and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted throughout the earth. You know, God usually seeks us. The Holy Spirit continually endeavors to seek us. But during the 10 days of awe, we are to seek Him. That was the idea of it. It is the Father saying to His children, I want you to know me. I want you to seek me out. I want you to find me. And it was a time when Israel was called to return to God and give glory to God, to thank Him, to trust Him with total faith. It was a time for real repentance, not some kind of fake repentance, not just, well, Lord, you know, I messed up today, just kind of forgive me for it. Let's let it slide under the rug. It was a time for real repentance. And then the last day of the harvest. That last day of the harvest feast came 5 days after the Day of Atonement. It was just before winter. And it symbolized the harvest before the winter of the world, when there is no more life on earth, when death is going to settle upon this planet. It was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it represents the second coming of Jesus Christ. The planet would be left in ruins for 1,000 years. The final harvest feast points to the marriage supper of the Lamb that leaves this planet doomed. The Feast of the Trumpets was also the seventh new moon trumpet. That's what it was. It was a seventh new moon trumpet blast. All the original feasts that were given to Israel by Moses, they were all contained in the framework of 7 months. The Feast of the Passover was the first month. At the beginning of the Feast of the Passover, right at the new moon, the trumpet blew. In the second month, we see the full moon come up, and the trumpet blew. It blew again and again and again until it got all the way down to Rosh Hashanah, the seventh month, the Feast of the Trumpets. And that month it blew the trumpet. It was the seventh trumpet blast, and it was the last trumpet blast that you would hear for the year. It was final. You know, as we look in the Bible and we begin to understand things, we need to always understand what happened then reflects on what happens now. Somebody asked me, why do you use so many verses? Because the Bible explains itself so well. Numbers 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who opposes you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, those that remember the Genesis series. It is the covenant name of God. You will be remembered before the covenant Lord, Yahweh, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in that day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and we come into the feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings, more than one, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial before the Lord, or before God. I am the Lord God. On the seventh month, that final trumpet blast, there was two witnesses that were chosen, two very special witnesses that were chosen to spot the beginning of the new moon. That was their sole purpose, their sole job. And it was no accident, because those two angels are also, there's two angels that are allocated in Revelation chapter 14, and we know them very well, as the equivalent of the Rosh Hashanah witnesses. These two angels were there in Revelation. And they are the first and the second angel's message. They're there to prepare the world for the coming judgment hour of the mark of the beast. So when the signal is given, the trumpets were blown as a wake-up call for all the people. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. Leviticus 23, verses 24 and verse 25. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. It was a time to come together as one. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It was a time to come together. That final feast was a time not to go hide in your homes like Passover. It was a time for the community to come together. The Feast of the Trumpets was a simple feast that was, well, it has three practical components in it. The first component was a day of solemn rest. In fact, it was a memorial to be proclaimed by the trumpet blast itself. Number two, it was a holy convocation. It was a time to come together. It was a time to come together because of the trumpet call. It called them together. And that means it was a call to worship. And number three, it was a day of rest that rotated around a single burnt offering. Not ones that you had in your homes, not little offerings that you had in each of your houses. It wasn't something that you brought. It was a single burnt offering that was there that day. These three components contained the vital information that we need for the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you have these three components in place in your life right now, you will have that vital relationship with Jesus, and you will stand with him in peace till the end of time. The first one is a day of solemn rest. It was a day to find Christ. It was a memorial to be proclaimed by the blowing of the trumpet. Now, you got to really think about the Sabbath rest. We have Sabbath. We're enjoying our Sabbath now, right? And now here we are sitting here in the Sabbath. And you know, I remember when I first learned about the Sabbath day, and I was trying to keep the Sabbath. I thought I was doing all things right. I'd come to church. Don't judge me, guys. I'd come to church, and when I came to church, I would listen to the sermon, usually bring one of my boys with me, and then after the sermon, we go out and find a good restaurant, have a nice meal that we didn't have to slave in our own kitchen for, and then go watch a movie, have a nice relaxing day. Boy, did I realize that's not what the Sabbath was about. Not at all. It definitely wasn't growing in my relationship with God. In my own ignorance, I was missing a blessing. But as I grew as a Christian, I began to realize the Sabbath day is a day of holy Sabbath rest. It was a time to spend with God. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about my rest. It wasn't about my life. It wasn't about economics. It was a day about God. That's where the blessing's at. The seventh day Sabbath is a memorial to creation in parallel with the seventh trumpet, which was the Sabbath trumpet blast. It was a call, in essence, to remember what Sabbath was all about in your preparation for the great day of judgment. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, what about this end? Jesus is talking about a 70-year prophecy at this point. What about the end? And in verse 20, it says, and pray that your flight not be in winter or on the Sabbath day. That tells me the Sabbath was important. It was more important than the things that you're going to run from. It's more important about the things that are in our lives. It's more important to us at the end of time than any other time in this world. And there's a reason for that. Verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation such as there has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. You know, maybe we need to pray for that great tribulation to come. I believe that we need time to get away and connect with Christ. The seventh trumpet should not surprise us. Shouldn't surprise us at all. It is a time to take a pause from this hectic world. And boy, we got a lot of things to take a pause from. How many of you watch the news? Anybody watch the news here? Oh, come on. All right, truckers, how many of you listen to the news? I don't care whether it's in Russian, English, Spanish, whatever. The world's in chaos. We got this crazy thing called COVID that's running around. The world's in chaos. It's scared. We have all these economic issues that are coming about. The world's scared. How are we going to feed ourselves? We have government issues. Oh, it's not just here. Look around. Look what's happening in Burma. Look what's happening around this world. It's a time to come away from all that and spend quality time with God. That's what it's about. Somebody made a comment, and I agree with it. Here in this country, we're spoiled. What's the toughest decision you've ever had to make in your life in this country? Lucifer is going to try to knock you off your knees so that you don't get down, so you don't give glory to God, so you don't stay connected with him. Lucifer is going to push you over every time you get on your knees and you beg for the Holy Spirit to pour out upon you. When you beg to build that relationship with Christ, Revelation 13:8 tells us this. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. That means the mark of the beast issue is over worship and our ability to worship God as he has commanded or as he wants us to. And then by the time we get to verse 15, we begin to understand he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And here's the important part. and that no man might buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. If I stop right here and I ask you a question, how are you going to answer this one? Where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty as a Christian? And will you be able to stand when no man can buy or sell? Where's your loyalty? When the American dollar is worthless and your only right to the economy is selling your soul to worship the way the beast wants you to worship. It's coming. It's coming. And I think we just got a taste of it just now. You think it's going to be all right in our face? The Bible tells us that the very elect might even be fooled by this. I think COVID was a warm-up. Amen. And look how we've acted. As Christians, look how we acted. For the betterment of our neighbors. And if you're not wearing the mask, if you're not doing all these things, then what happens to you? The time's coming when we're going to stand out as Christians. It's not going to be popular to be a Christian. Where is your loyalty? How deep does that loyalty run? God has given us the Sabbath as a sign that we can rest in Jesus without dollars or even with dollars. That we don't have to put our confidence in some IRA or in a bank account or in a government stimulus check that's going to come in the mail. Maybe. Our security is not based on how good the economy's doing. Our security is not based as a Christian on how high the stock market is. When the whole world falls apart, that same human power that put it all into place, that created it, it will not uphold us through the final test. It won't do it. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how much income you have coming in. It will not save you to the final moments of this world. Jesus is the creator in which he can hold your life together. And that's literally what the Sabbath is all about. The warning of the mark of the beast is a call to remember the one behind the Sabbath. Let's connect this to where we're at. Revelation 14:9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark in his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented in fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Here is a picture of the final events of this world and a final warning from the mark of the beast. And then we come to Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest." What? What is rest? No rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever received the mark in his name. I hope you learned something today. Because as I go through this week, I begin to look at this and think, man, was I missing it when I first became an Adventist? What does the Bible say? No rest day or night. Those worshipers of the beast have fallen into their own demise. And if you receive the mark in its name, the Bible says the worshipers of the beast have no rest. And then Jesus' words come to you. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not the beast. It's Christ. And apostas is the word there. The Greek word means Sabbath rest. It's not just any rest. It's not a day for you to go put your feet up in the chair. It is a Sabbath rest that Christ is talking about. It is him that will give you a Sabbath rest. And it is in him you will find peace among this turbulent world. Christ is the heart of the seventh day. And the unstable world at the end of time cannot produce a rest that will calm the soul and lead it back to God. There's no way the world can do that. Jesus is the heart that was broken for the human race, that he cares about every single person who needs a way out from under sin. So he makes the call, come unto me, and I will give you rest at the end of time. And at the end of time, the world will follow the Antichrist beast instead of coming to Jesus, who is the source of God's true rest. You know, Revelation 14:12 makes it so clear. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. This is not a legalistic call. This is not a call to legalism. It's not a check mark on the Ten Commandments. It says that it is the patience of those who keep the commandments of God, those that keep what God wants us to do, and they have the faith of Jesus Christ. All the heart of God's call it's a call to rest. It's a heart that will give you to rest if you come to Jesus Christ. Experience truth of the Sabbath. Experience the truth of what Sabbath truly teaches you. And it teaches you that Christ is the rest for the restless heart. You're not going to find it in a bottle of a pill. You're not going to, the pill in the bottom of the bottle. Guess I ought to get all that right. You're not going to find it anywhere else. The only way and the only place to find peace is in God, in Christ Jesus. Let's review this. The Feast of the Trumpets was a day of solemn rest. In fact, it was a memorial to proclaim the blast of the trumpets. It was a convocation. In other words, it was time to come together. It was a call to come because of the trumpet call. That means it was a call to worship. It was a day of rest that rotated around a single offering. Not multiple offerings, not offerings that were all in your home in private. It was a time to come together when you had a single offering. And in Revelation chapter 10, the seventh trumpet call was to return to the gospel of Jesus Christ on the cross of Christ. And the Millerite movement began to explain that and fulfill Bible prophecy in a very special way. The great Millerite movement arose proclaiming the first and the second messages. It sounded not just here in the United States, it sounded around the world. All through the European theater, anywhere Christianity was open and free, that movement began to move. It wasn't an Adventist movement. It was a Christian movement. Lutheran and Catholics and Baptists, they all came together. They understood that their teachings were the proclamation of Christ's coming was near. They were warning the world of the coming judgment. They were the typical fulfillment of Rosh Hashanah, the seventh trumpet that is blown. That was what it was about. The Bible says that the book of Daniel was open and the book was sweet in the mouth. And they believed that Christ was coming in the middle of the night based on the teachings of that book in Daniel. It tasted good. And we know during Rosh Hashanah, they take that bread and they dip it in what? Honey. Then they do what with it? They'd eat it. Oh, it would be sweet. It'd be good. What is living bread according to the Bible? We just talked about this. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. His word symbolized by bread. They took the bread of the word and they brought it into their mouth as prophetic word. And it was sweet like Rosh Hashanah. It was sweet like that moment when they all came together. But it turned into the great disappointment of 1844. That little group of Christians did something very special, though. They woke the Christian world up to the realization that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Most Christians believe that the second coming was probably a millennium away or more. And they were awakened by this Christian movement to the nearness of Jesus Christ coming. So in Revelation chapter 10, the seventh trumpet that sounded, it was sounded by the Millerite movement. And it is seen in the book of Revelations as a call to return to the gospel of Jesus Christ to prepare for the judgment. Let's look at that. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Then the angel who I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Notice the verbiage. The one who lives forever and ever, who created what? Heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, and there should be no more delay. If you haven't realized by now, there's no eighth angel sounding a trumpet. This is the final trumpet, the final call. This is the end of the Bible prophecy in terms of time chronologies that we see. It's at the end of the 2300-year prophecy. Prophetic time comes to an end. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. I use International Standard Version for this. It says, when the time approaches for the seventh angel to blow his trumpet, God's great plan will be fulfilled as he has announced to his servants, the prophets. And the word announced is literally the word for gospel. Literally, he says, the mystery of God says that he gospeled this to his servants, to the prophets, and it would be fulfilled. That means after 1844, when they took the book of Daniel and it was sweet in their mouth, and they went through that awful experience, the Bible says in the days following that great disappointment, there would be days in which the gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached throughout the entire world. And then the end would come. Revelation 14:6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, in other words, a trumpet of a voice, fear God, give glory to him, for his hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made what? The heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Oh, I'm going to guess there's a few people thinking, man, you're stretching this all the way into the Sabbath day. How'd you do that? Watch. That is what the Millerite movement taught in the Middle Ages of the 19th century. They were proclaiming in trumpet-like tones the coming of Jesus, the judgment hour. And they were a gospel-centered people. They were looking for that. Matthew 24:14 again, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. We look at Revelation 14:6, the first angel's message is proclaimed as of the everlasting gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. It is a parallel with Christ's prophecy that we see in Matthew 24, 20, when Jesus calls to remember the Sabbath as a preparation for the time of trouble that is coming upon you. Don't worry about how cold it is in the winter. Pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath. And we get to Revelation 14, 7, and the first angel's message is a call to worship God on the seventh day. It is a parallel to Jesus' counsel that is given in Matthew 24. Revelation 14, 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who have made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs, and the water. It's a direct quote from the fourth commandment to go back to the Sabbath. Go back to what is important and worship God with Sabbath rest. Exodus 20, where we read our commandments. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day. As we read through that, we come to verse 11. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made what? The heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And they rested on the seventh day. The first angel message is the gospel message for the end of time. And it is wrapped around the truth and the meaning of the seventh day Sabbath because it leads us right back to that moment. The call to return to Christ is a call to return to a Sabbath rest. God knew the world was going to forget. This is more than just a rest on the Sabbath. It is to come together and rest in Jesus Christ. It was a convocation. It was the time to come together. The seventh trumpet's blasted. This isn't a time to break up into different segments and go our own ways. It's a time to come together as Christians. It was a convocation of the great feast of the trumpets. Jesus said, unto me, all you are heavy laden, weary, come and I will give you rest. There was a call to worship together and to find Jesus Christ together, and it was to be done on the Sabbath day. Matthew 24, 14 again, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony for all nations. Then the end will come. The seventh angel in the book of Revelation is the angel that will finish all the gospel call. It will finish all the gospel work. And in the days of the seventh angel, it will come to an end. Guess what? We're in the days of the seventh angel. Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. This is the moment when the rock that was made without the hands crushes all the other kingdoms. This is the moment that God's people waited for him. The kingdom of God is based on the victory of God and his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And the 3 days that followed. If there was no cross, there is no crown. If there is no Calvary, there is no victory or end. If there is no sacrifice for sin, there is no way you can escape your sin. If there is no single sacrifice that finishes the debt that pays for sin, that deals with your guilt, then there is no place for a redeemer at the end to set up his kingdom. If he cannot redeem those that have fallen under sin, there is no victory. And there is no way to calm you on judgment day. There is no way for you to find rest. But we know Jesus died on the cross. We know the next day was a day of unleavened bread because the Lamb had done his work and lifted the curse of sin from our lives. And the next morning, on Sunday morning, when he told Mary, touch me not, for I have not ascended to the Father, he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And in doing so, he resurrected those saints and took him with him to wave the sheaf before the Lord. You know, Jesus dies on the cross, and we see an inscription that was prophetic of the final judgment, when the Son of Man would come before the Ancient of Days, and to him God the Father would give him dominion and glory. And the Bible says on the cross was found an inscription, said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of all the Jews. The Feast of the Trumpets, there was a single sacrifice. We are taught that we were saved simply by a single sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're struggling with. We all struggle with COVID. We struggle with money. We struggle with food. We struggle with time with our loved ones. Unfortunately, we struggle to get here today. We live in a world where, it's not safe to come together in a holy convocation. And when do we stand up and say, Lord, our loyalty is with you? It's a time for us to come together and to worship. And I've been in churches where we worship in 10 different languages. It doesn't matter. Because we're worshiping the same person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And he leads us into that relationship that will last forever. And if you don't have that relationship today, come see me. We'll talk. Because the seventh trumpet has sounded. It is our moment to come together. It is our moment to remember what the Sabbath is about. And that Sabbath is about filling a relationship with God. Please stand with me today.